Lord willing, next Sunday night we will be also taking or show up a video. And I say showing, that's the wrong word. We want to make a video to really appreciate as many that can attend as possible. Bermuda seems to enjoy our singing here, and we always get a good reception in Bermuda. And so we can keep that in mind. Pray much about it as well. Brother Randy came today and brought his equipment. So next Sunday evening, and I haven't spoken to Ross yet, but it would be nice if we get both choirs in that, Ross, if possible, all right? And where we could really sing out to the glory of God. I'd like you to turn, please, tonight, just a verse in John's Gospel, maybe a couple of verses, really, in John's Gospel. And verse 36, we will be referring to a few other verses, John 5 and 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. When did the Father send him? Bethlehem was the beginning, of course. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that's what he said to the Pharisees, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. May God bless the reading of his word. There'll be a few more, of course, that we will be referring to. We live in an age of hustle and bustle, noise, clamor, and it's amazing how seldom we take time out to listen to the important things of life. We miss a lot in the world because of it. Noise seems to be the thing of the day. But there are a lot of things that we need to keep in mind where people lost out according to the Word of God. You take Israel. Israel, it was one of the saddest things that could happen to them, that the Word says blindness in part has happened to Israel. Otherwise, they heard the gospel, they listened, but nothing happened. You know why? Because they didn't listen when they should have. I'm trying to make it simplified as possible. They wouldn't listen to the Word of God, and when Jesus appeared on the scene, Paul tells the Romans, blindness has happened to them. And Jesus said, they have ears to hear, but they're not listening. I'm putting it kind of in a way where we'll understand. They see, and yet they don't see. Because of the rejection of God's Word. They didn't listen to God's Word in the Old Testament, the latter part of the Old Testament. Closes out with a very dark, dark picture. That's why in 586 B.C., Israel were plundered by the Babylonians, and they were in subjection to the Babylonians because they didn't listen. Simple as that. And when they failed to listen, they failed to obey. And by their disobedience and then steeped in idolatry, profaned the Word of God, and paid absolutely no attention to the Word of God. So when Christ comes on the scene, blindness in part has happened to Israel. But then God turned to the Gentiles. That's us. I tell you, I'm not glad that Israel rejected the Lord, but I'm sure glad that we had the gospel conveyed to us Gentiles. We wouldn't be here tonight singing. And I mentioned this last week, of course. We wouldn't be rejoicing. We wouldn't have that peace of God in our hearts and the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Because God is a God of exceeding great joy. And he's conveyed that to us. And the day when you received Christ, you had that joy given to you. And it's yours tonight. What about the wise men? Why do you think they were blessed? Because they listened to God in nature. They saw a star. You know, the world is calling many disasters Mother Nature, they call it. Not Mother Nature. Absolutely nothing to do with Mother or Mother Nature. Of course, the weather stations get a little bolder. They call it the wrath of God. But you know, God has been speaking to the world in the last 20 years. Perhaps as never before. And the world isn't listening. Katrina was just a little taste of it. New Orleans, I guess some people, we get worn by and tired of listening to that about New Orleans. And I only say this because it would make you sick, and you would go out to the bathroom, and you know what? If you knew some of the things that were conducted in that place. But New Orleans is just one place. Even when it was all over, they paraded down the street. The first thing they wanted to repair were the casinos. You know, they're not listening. There are a lot of innocent people, and we're sorry for them. Wilma devastated southern Florida. Are we listening? Andrew hit us 13 years ago, and we were in shock. Few lives were lost. Damage unprecedented in the area of North Eleuthera. We've never had it happen like that. Are we listening? The earthquake in Asia not too long ago. Now it's way up over 100,000 people. The earth swallowed up these dear people, and they're gone, vanished in a moment. The tsunami that we've had just wiped out island after island, that gigantic wave, surging wave under the ocean that came in under what looked like peaceful conditions, and a terrible disaster took place. And it just goes on and on and on. Are we listening? Are they listening? The wise men listened to God in nature. They saw the star. And what did they do? They followed. Hallelujah for those wise men. We have right to call them wise men. They followed the star. They knew that strange phenomena was something behind it. I believe they had a knowledge of the Bible for some reason or the other. And they followed that. Because when they finally got to their destination where the star had really stopped over the Christ child, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" So they must have had some knowledge. But the point I want to make, of course, is that they listened and they followed. You know, God has not left us without a witness. That's what Jesus said in the narrative of John chapter 5 and Romans chapter 1. In fact, Paul very strongly comes down in Romans chapter 1 and 2. He left himself not without a witness, so that we are without excuse. When a man appears before the judgment bar of God, and there he's going to receive the awful sentence of an eternal separation from God and be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Oh, my friend, it will all be based. They didn't listen. Or if they heard, listen. They didn't respond. They didn't follow. They didn't obey. Really sad when you think of it. A rich man who built a house, and in his heart, filled with compassion, he thought he would make somebody happy. And he did, of course, something strange. You don't find this happening every day. After the house was completed on a very nice area, he put up a sign. "This house is free to the first person who will come in and ask for it." People went by, and he watched from inside. They laughed, and they said, "Him? You never get nothing free." Others said, "Something behind that." Another man said, it's a gimmick, man. Don't be fooled by that. And they laughed. They passed by and they looked at the sign. And it's amazing how many days went by until a middle-aged, dear black man came by and he looked at the sign. And he rushed in and he said, sir, is the house still available? And the rich man said, yes, it is, and here are the keys. And he handed him the keys. Sir, this house is yours. You had faith to believe in me, and I admire you. I appreciate you. And this house, the man shook with emotion and joy. He said, and the papers will be made out tomorrow, and I want your name. And he gave him his name, of course. And that man claimed the house without paying one penny, a free gift of a house, simply because when he read the sign, he believed it. And he went in and he claimed it. Can I be any simpler than that? You get the message, don't you? The greatest gift that ever been given to mankind was that of the Lord Jesus. And he is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How much faith do you need to believe that? Well, where is the problem then? The problem lies within your will. You do not believe that God is a liar. If I ask you, do you think God lies? Every person that's not a Christian would say, of course not. God cannot lie. Then why don't you take him at his word? Act upon it. Like the wise men, they saw the star, they followed, and came to where the Christ child was, and immediately there they saw him, and they believed. They bowed, presented their gifts, lavished upon him the gift of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they rejoiced when they saw the star. But you know, they rejoiced even greater when they saw the Christ child. Oh, my friend, listen to God. He is speaking in so many different ways. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees who were hardened, and these men who were critical and suspicious of the Lord Jesus. He said, listen, if you don't believe me for my work's sake. Look at the works that I am doing. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus pleading with them even in that area of his life? John was a witness. Believe John's witness of me. And believe the witness of the works that I have done. And oh, the works were many and miraculous. And God is still working miracles even today. And so the Lord Jesus is telling them that my witness is unmistakable. It's universal. Because I have it all over the world, the witness of creation. And my, we don't have time to talk about that. But every time I get in the works of creation, I get excited. You know, a man would have to be deliberately blind or deliberately ignorant not to see that there's a creator and the designer of all the wonderful things in nature and the things in the world, the earth, the stellar heavens alone baffles, staggers the imagination. Oh, my friend, when we think the God of creation, oh, how great he is. And yet he has come down to us in the person of the Lord Jesus, identified himself in human flesh so that he might convey the thoughts of God, the works of God, the plan of God, the salvation of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. That's the reason why Jesus came. So let it go to the cross and die and there satisfy the heart of a righteous God, because God cannot tolerate sin. He must judge sin. And he judged it in the person of his beloved Son. He is a justifier of them that believe. Oh, what a God, what a God, what a God we have. Long suffering, not willing that any should perish. And I want to tell you, God has been long suffering with people in Spanish well. The unconverted especially. God has been waiting so long. The thing that pains me, not that you're going to exhaust the patience of God, but that your own life is going to be exhausted. Your privileges are going to be exhausted. Your opportunities of hearing the word of God going to be exhausted. I know some people who can't even concentrate anymore I had a brother tell me about his parents. He said, they're beyond hope. They're not able to understand, and I've witnessed to them for years, Frank. They don't understand a word that I'm saying now. You know, that's a very pitiful thing. Pitiful. Listen to God. Listen tonight if He's speaking to your heart. Listen and obey. Act upon it. Follow. The wise men not only listened to God in nature, and much could be said about that, but they also listened to God in Scripture. They listened to the Word of God. Because when they came to Jerusalem and the scribes and told them that He was to be born in Bethlehem, then they made off, as we saw in the Bible class this morning, and they went in the direction where the star, they left the star, of course, momentarily, but the star waited for them. And God is patient, isn't He? God will always wait. He will. Patient God, loving God. Oh, how wonderful He is. Oh, He wants us just to trust Him. He wants us to really believe in His Word. The Word of God is so precious, so pure. And it's the Word that always gives direction. It's the Word that brings you face to face with Him over the responsibility of man's condition and face to face with the fact that He's there to forgive them. What a God we have. Calvary. Thank God for the cross. Thinking of the cross, I read a story where a plane was momentarily lost its bearing in the fog, circling, not sure where he was. He felt he was near the airport. This was quite a few years ago when we didn't have all the technology that we have in the plane. And the passengers were so frightened. Some of you know what that's all about, don't you? Some of you hate to fly in airplanes. You get a little bumpy, boom, boom, you know. I tell you, I've seen some awful stuff. I've heard a lot of screams and cries in airplanes. And sometimes, no doubt, it is frightening. But can you imagine not knowing where the plane location, not knowing where the airfield was? And it was an awful experience. In fact, it was so bad that people actually took their pens out and began to write messages to loved ones in case they died in the crash. If they could ever find their messages, they began to write. I don't know how many of them thought of God, but I suspect that a lot of them thought about God. That's the best time for them to think about God is when they think the plane is going to crash. Believe me, must be some awful, traumatic experiences. And you know something? Finally, he made contact with a tower in that blinding fog. And he says, and they didn't have radar. They said, how many feet are you above the earth? He said, it says, come a little lower. And no lower than that. He said, do you see a lighted cross? And he said, no, I don't see anything. And then all of a sudden, a lighted cross on a chapel was just on that side of the airstrip. He said, yeah, I see it. I see the cross. He said, well, just go over that and you'll begin to see the lights of the airport. And sure, right over that, and there were the lights of the runway. That man brought that plane in, safe and sound. You can imagine how those people felt. I feel for them. I feel happy for them myself. Must have been a tremendous experience. They all applauded the captain and they were so happy and overjoyed. But the point is this. Do you see the cross? I know it was a literal cross. But the lesson is, of course, to avoid shipwreck in life and disaster for eternity. I hope you see the cross work of Jesus Christ tonight. If you fail to see that, and I fail to convey how important that is, and I failed in my presentation of the Word of God tonight, I hope you see the cross. So they listen to God in nature, they listen to God in the Scriptures, and they listen to God's Son as well. Wise men listen to the Word of God, which speaks of His Son. God has spoken to us in the last days by and through His Son. He is a wise man today that do that. They recognized who he was and they worshiped him. And then, of course, they listened through dreams. They had a dream. Now, I'm not saying that God always works through dreams today. He has his word. He has the Holy Spirit. But there are circumstances through which God works. It might be a dream, but that's not the norm of today. Now, he worked through a dream like Joseph in Egypt, Daniel in Babylon, Peter when the sheet was let down, and Jacob's ladder, that Jacob saw that ladder going up to heaven, angels ascending and descending on that ladder into glory itself. It must have been a wonderful dream. Most of my dreams are just the opposite. Lately, terrible. I hear people calling, Frank, Frank. I jump up, 2:30 in the morning, rush out to the carport, turn the light on, thinking something. And just as clear, I mean, you couldn't convince me that no one was at the door. Have you had that experience? The problem is it's happening a little too much with me. And what upsets me is not so much the dream. It upsets me that it happens around about 2 o'clock in the morning. That's what bothers me. But you know, God has spoken in many, many ways. And these wise men listened. Joseph listened. And Mary listened. Simeon listened to the word of God. These great people of God. The word is what we have for you tonight. I hope and I sincerely trust that you're really listening. Sometimes he speaks through sickness. Sometimes he speaks through emotional problems. Sometimes he speaks through financial difficulties. Sometimes he speaks through death. Perhaps when God speaks through death, it's the loudest call or the loudest voice. We never get used to it, do we? Never. No matter if it hits your beloved mother that's several years old, up in years, all those years that you've enjoyed her caresses, her kisses, her love. And sometimes he speaks through death. As a Christian and as a father and as a husband, I know what it is. And I was talking to my good friend David Cartwright recently. I said, David, how long has Mary been dead? He said, 4 years. I said, 4 years. I said, man, it must be tough. There was a time I used to say, David, I don't know how you're making it. And you know what he told me? He said, it's not getting any easier. Well, I don't mean to be personal, but now I can share in his sorrow. I know what it is. And but you know what God speaks to me in death and the death of loved ones, love like Emily, is so much or so different than I could have been. A lot of little silly things that I could have avoided or omitted. And but at least I had the joy of telling her I was sorry many, many nights as we laid there in bed together. And I had the privilege of holding her hand all night. And I'm thankful. In 8 weeks, by the time she found out her colon cancer, Emily was gone. 8 weeks. To say we don't miss her, it would be wrong. But, you know, I always like to think of where she is rather than where she was. And that takes away a lot of the pain. Now, I didn't mean to be personal. In fact, I had absolutely no intentions of bringing that up tonight. But God does speak in death. In Emily's case, it says, we're not here forever. That's what it tells me. You see, not here forever. The rapture doesn't take place, of course. Some of us are going to go that way. But what about you? As a non-Christian, tell me, what is the status of your soul condition tonight? And if you died, and God forbid, oh, that you might live many, many days, years. But if you should die tonight, where would you open your eyes? Tell me. Or tell the Lord. Tell the Lord tonight. Come to grips with this issue. God has spoken to you by His Word, through His Son, by nature, disasters, or whatever. He has spoken to you by His Holy Spirit tonight. Because that's what He does. God has His Spirit to speak, to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. But God is speaking. Listen to Him. Lest one of these days you're going to have a spiritual deafness. You'll hear and yet not hear. You'll see and yet not see. There will become a blindness, a scab of indifference and complacency that will come over your eyes. You may not have the ability to even understand. Or you may lose the desire completely in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, this is chronic. Oh, God help you to see it tonight. Don't gamble with your soul. Trust it as your very own. Shall we bow for prayer? But just before we have prayer, and then we're going to have a verse or two of our hymn. Is there someone here with heads bowed? I'm going to ask you to stand, walk the aisle tonight. But heads bowed. In the quietness of this moment, just a few seconds. You say, you mean, Frank, it's easy as that? Yes, it is. It's a matter of the will. If you're willing, right where you're seated. Lord Jesus, I believe You died for me. And I receive You as my Savior now. Basing it upon Your Word, I trust You as my Savior because I know You love me and You gave Yourself for me. I do not want to put this off another moment, another night. The Spirit of God is speaking. Listen. Listen to God. Listen to Him. Please. Right now, pause for a few seconds. It's only a prayer away. If you have done this week, you haven't told anybody about it, or even tonight, I wonder, head still bowed. Frank, I've given my heart to the Lord. Would you just quietly raise your hand, indicating that you have trusted the Lord tonight? Is there someone or ones in this meeting tonight that God the Spirit is speaking, and you've said, I'm listening tonight? Or maybe you've been away from the Lord and you've come back to Him tonight. You raise your hand. God will wait. Father, we pray indeed for this service and for Your precious Word. For those who may be just on the edge, who really want to trust You, and yet to save anybody, the work must be done by Thee. We only want to give them every opportunity, Father, to bow the knee to the Christ of God and be saved. Lord, we pray that tonight they will act upon the things that they have heard, and that we might have the joy of seeing them born again by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just the two verses of number 700, which is, I guess you know, one of my favorites around Christmas time. Number 700 in the Redemption Songbook. Because there was no room for Him in the inn. And sometimes it seems obvious that there's no room for the Lord in the hearts of a lot of people. in the world and in Spanish well. Just the first and the last verse. Who is this that's waiting just outside the door? Who is he that's knocking? Has he knocked before? Rise and bid him enter in, peace and hope he'll bring. 'Tis the Savior, knocking. 'Tis the Lord and King, let him in. Number 700, the first and the last verse. We could stand, please, and sing these. Two verses only. Number 700, and the meeting will be over.